The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. This is an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from Live Sports Bar on Main Street. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Holly wants some Astros talk for a guy who's never listened to ESPN 97.5.
Go Stros. I mean, listen, it's another game. I know it's the first game here, but...
And it's always fun, and it's just like opening day was. It's different for everybody. They hang on every pitch. It's awesome. I love it. But it is one of 162, and you know, you'd like to see them start putting some wins together here at some point, but it's so early in the season right now. I want to ask, if Tech loses, what happens to Beard? What if they win? I don't know that he's going anywhere this year. And if I'm Tech fan, I'm really hoping that Shaka Smart has a good season next year.
Yeah, I'm with you. And although I think Shaka's earned some cred with the basketball fans there at Texas and maybe with the program itself. But I do think that Texas is always going to be looming for Chris Beard because that's where he came from. And I'm not saying Texas is a destination job, but I am saying it's a good town.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number 3. 713-780-ESPN if you want to text the show. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates975.
That's AJ right there. Yeah.
You can also.
Yeah.
Do we have RJ?
That's AJ.
Yeah.
You listen to us every day? Oh, Fred Fowler, good to meet you. You knew which one was Fred, didn't you? Yeah.
What's up, man? Thanks for coming out, man. Oh, gosh. Okay, so waiting. We do have RJ? Well, let's just jump right into that because we have the gambling guru of the universe, the greatest gambling mind on the planet, RJ Bell. And, RJ, you know what I did today? You'll appreciate this. My old tennis shoes had a hole in them. Well, I do that every day.
Yeah.
My old tennis shoes had a hole in them. And okay. I came real close to putting duct tape on them. But you know what I did? Because I knew what you would say about me if I did that, I went and bought new tennis shoes.
See, that means you're not a duct tape shoe guy. You can afford new shoes.
Yeah, although you kind of insinuate that I am. So that's probably why I went and bought the new shoes.
Yeah, well, listen, I think you're not quite as sharp as you think, but I will say you're a lot sharper than 99% of radio guys.
But wait, you say that about
horses.
You say that about me, RJ. Fred and I can't both be sharper than 99% of radio guys.
How many radio guys do you think there are in the country? Do you know how many dum-dums I've talked to?
Fair.
And let's be fair. AJ and I were gamblers before we were radio hosts. So, you know, that I think that plays into it a little bit. We've been gambling.
You know, I got to tell you, though, when he was here for the fight, you know, not when he came in for the tournament, but the fight, you know, AJ and I were hanging out, and I just rewatched 3 of the best episodes in sitcom history, which is, I know it's, you know, there's PC issues with Louis C.K. these days, but Louis, the TV show, is one of the greats. And in his, I think it was his 3rd or 4th season, he had a 3-episode arc in which he was going for Dave Letterman's spot. Letterman was going to retire, and they were giving him a chance. So it was like this, you know, low-level comic that was potentially going to make good, right? And at one point, David Lynch is his prep guy. So Lynch is playing this old school, you know, TV guy who's 70 or whatever, doesn't understand the new ways, but he understands the old school ways, right? And finally he goes to Louis, he goes, listen, Louis, he goes, if you were funny, if you were a comedian, it would be so much easier. And Louis looks at him and goes, I am a comedian. And David Lynch goes, well, I thought you were a news guy. He goes, I've been with you for a week. You haven't made me laugh one time. And I actually hit, and I didn't remember that's where I got the joke from. I hit AJ with that. So we're sitting around with a guy named Raj, who was an LA producer. Raj had a friend with him, and there was a couple other people. And AJ goes, "You know, guys, I never really meant to be in talk radio. I started out as a stand-up comedian." Yeah. And I look at him and just one beat, and I go, "Well, then why don't you make anyone laugh?"
I know. What a brutal thing to say.
You know the worst part of that story, RJ? I was one of the people at the table.
How great was the delivery? be honest, Fred. How great was the delivery?
Perfect. It was perfect.
Oh, it was It was like, yeah, why don't you make anyone laugh?
There were other people at the table. Yeah, I was one of them. Thanks for remembering.
I didn't want to make a big... I mean, the funny thing was you went up to watch Dragnet repeats, and I, you know, in your hotel room, so I didn't know what time you left, which time you were there. I know you were there for like 30 seconds.
I was there for about an hour and a half, and by the time I got there, you guys were already lit, and I was still messed up from eating edibles the day before, and that was awful because I went back to my hotel room and had the munchies, and guess what I had for the munchies? More edibles. I was a wreck.
Well, that doesn't sound good. But let's be honest, AJ, there's something about AJ. That he takes this really deep pride that he's not a typical talk radio guy, that somehow he had this non-existent career beforehand. He really takes pride in it. How much money have you made, AJ, as a comedian, if you add every penny up?
Not very much.
Like probably less than $3,000.
No, yeah, that's probably true, but I don't like... But
I made more money shoveling snow as a child.
You're probably right.
As a comedian,
my whole point was that I never had any intentions of getting in radio. I just kind of fell into it. It wasn't my goal to be a radio guy.
I know, but it's like 20 years later, and you still take pride that you did an open mic night once in Austin.
Oh, all right. Well, I was sorry for sharing my story with you, RJ.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, what's wrong with taking pride? Now, I was never supposed to be in radio either. It's only been 10 years. When am I allowed to stop talking about it? Am I supposed to stop now because it's been 10 years?
I think probably 5 years ago.
Okay, so 5 years. All right. Well, you know what? That makes sense because I compare that to marriage. I've always said that marriage should be a 5-year contract, and then you can renew it if you want. So,
well, that's called a prenup.
Well, yeah, there's that too. Oh, God.
I was watching Danny. I don't know if you guys, have you seen Danny Collins, the Al Pacino movie?
No.
Yeah, he plays like a rock star who's like 70, and he has like a 25-year-old girlfriend, and he decides he's going to break up with her. They're engaged, and he goes, she acts all upset, and he goes, "Listen, you're going to sign a prenup anyway, so you're not missing anything." And she looks, she goes, "That makes me feel better." She's... It's good, Danny Collins.
So, hey, are we going to do our Triple Crown podcast this year? Because I am on this thing huge this year. I tell you,
Fred, you haven't hit that blockbuster yet. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Since we started doing this, I haven't hit the Grand Slam that I'd hit like every year for the 3 years prior. This is happening this year. I'm on this. Totally.
All right, then we're booked, baby.
Awesome. So
who are you guys liking these games?
I'll tell you, I sent in to you that I like Michigan State. I just think that Cassius Winston and the ball movement, I think that they obviously he's a next level guard in transition, and the only way you're going to beat Tech is in transition and getting the ball moved well, because Tech can defend 1 through 5. Like they can switch 1 through 5, which is frustrating for teams. But I think Winston's a special player who's going to be able to take advantage of him. And I also think Tech, one their biggest issue on defense is they put you on the line, and Michigan State will eat you up from the line. So I like Tech. And then I hit Virginia, and I was thinking, man, I'm only going to go light because I think maybe the line's going to move, because there seemed like there was so much love for Auburn that – when I hit it at 5, I thought maybe I'd have a chance to get it at 4 later on. And turns out now the number's gone the other way and it's sitting at six, and I have a light play on Virginia when I kind of wish I had a heavy play on Virginia. But I just think that we're looking at too much into what's happened over the last five games instead of what's happened over the last 35 games. And over the last 35 games, they should be favored by seven over Auburn, especially without Okiki. But because Auburn's been on this hot tear, I feel like they're a team that's getting a lot of love and a lot of respect. So,
let me throw this out there. And Brad Powers really drove this, so he might have discussed it yesterday, but I'll probably say it in a conspiracy theory when it comes to Auburn. I don't believe the NCAA wants Auburn to win any more games. Why? Well, obviously they're in the middle of this federal investigation and all these negative recruiting factors and scenarios and events. Now, imagine if we were sitting here Selection Sunday, right before the selections for the tournament were made, and we would have said, RJ, what a goofy theory that is. Give us some ways that would be proven that Auburn's going to be treated poorly. I would say, well, by most accounts, Auburn should be a four seed at worst, maybe even a three. So if they're seeded below worse than four, that'd be a sign. Well, they were seeded five. Then you would think, also, I think they're going to have a tough run. All four seeds aren't created equal, all three seeds. They're going to have a hell of a run to get on the front page. And then you, and AJ, I trust your judgment in college basketball as much as anyone. Where would you have seeded Auburn?
After the SEC tournament, I would have said they're probably a four at worst.
Yeah. So five, them being seeded five was a real
disrespect. I thought they were a five before the SEC tournament. I would have had them at a five.
Exactly.
So the fact that they won the SEC tournament and were still a five, I thought that was odd.
Exactly. And then to have to they beat Kansas, Kentucky, and North Carolina, you'd say, wow, that wasn't easy.
I would not say that. No.
You would.
So you're saying the refs are going to play a part in this is what I'm hearing.
And listen, you're right, because really that's what they could do now to hurt them. And here we researched this. Apparently there's a pool of 10 potential refs. And then they're going to decide late or whenever they decide, you know, which three are going to be going in game one, which three in game two, which three Monday. Okay. And then one rotate or, you know, one wild card, I guess. I predict it's not they're going to whisper in the ref's ear, hey, be tough on Auburn. I don't think that. I think they're going to say, well, what type of ref is going to be problematic for Auburn, and it's going to be a ref that doesn't call a lot of fouls because Virginia is a super physical team. So my prediction, and from Houston, coast to coast, the highest rated drive time show, the Blitz with AJ and Fred, here's my prediction. At some point, Bill Raftery's going to say, let me tell you something, Jim, they're letting the boys play tonight. That is what you're going to hear. And my prediction is they're gonna reverse engineer the refs that are the least advantageous for Auburn.
Yeah, okay. All that makes perfect sense. But as the gambling guru of the universe, don't all gamblers have conspiracy theories? I mean, isn't that part of everything?
But I tell you something.
Every now and then you're right.
Every now and then I'm right.
No, on alleged conspiracy theories, I think there's times when, you know, we're actually right about them. I could think of two times in the past. So
hold on a second. A friend wants to jump on.
Talking about the great one, R.J. Bell.
I don't think every once in a while I'm right is the right way to say it.
10
that's
million.
That's not, no. I'm talking about a conspiracy theories. I'm not talking about.
But Fred, where did you think Auburn should be seated?
I was with AJ. I might have even made him a three.
Yeah. So if and would you agree that beating Kansas, Kentucky, and North Carolina is a pretty tough road to the Final Four?
Yeah, I think it's probably the toughest road, frankly.
So is it just a coincidence the team that the NCAA has a problem with was underseeded and had an incredibly tough road here? Is that a coincidence?
No, but let me play devil's advocate for just a second, because I think if they really felt that way, they would have had refs in the Kentucky game that were a little more lenient on Kentucky down the stretch.
Well, I mean, listen, to some degree, they're not going to worry. And again, I agree with you. Getting into the Final Four, that is when you get the attention. So I didn't watch every moment of that Auburn game. Do you feel like that Auburn got the calls?
I felt like they got a few calls, yeah. Now, part of it was I think Kentucky was a little gassed and they were doing a lot of grabbing and reaching. But there were a few calls there that I don't think they were iffy. I just think if they could have gone, they could have easily gone the other way.
And remember, guys, in no way am I saying that anything is fixed. What I'm saying is this might be worth a point and a half or 2 points.
Right.
If it's worth 2 points, you cannot bet Auburn. I mean, you just can't. That's the half points are what you're going for. So to me, this is a bet Virginia or pass situation.
Yeah, well, I'm actually with you. I after listening to AJ and Brad yesterday, my plays were I'm just doing a small little parlay with Michigan State and Virginia to cover, and then I'm taking DeAndre Hunter to win the most valuable player at plus 1,200 based on listening to AJ and Brad. Because if you think Virginia's
going to –
Yeah?
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but if you think Virginia's going to win, that's really good value on a guy who's going to have to play well for them. So that's where I went.
That's the way to do the MVPs, right, is obviously is how do you think the game's going to go? Who would excel? Who do you think is going to win? My favorite bet, and again, I want to be very specific, and I know this is – you guys know this. The best bets are 55%.
Yeah,
guru of the universe, whatever. There are no sure things. Even AJ, even your best bet, right, AJ?
Oh, yes.
But here's what I like. I like Michigan State to get to 10 points first. Now, we actually did a study, pregame.com. We have an associate producer here named Mackie who does some good research. And we put these teams into four categories, Final Four teams. Teams with a coach that had zero Final Four appearances, a coach with one or two games in the Final Four, coach with 3-9, and then 10 or more. So category 1, 2, 3, and 4, 1, the least experience, 4, the most experience. If you look at the ATS records in the semis in the Saturday games, least experience 6-4-1, second least experience 4-3-0. The third most experience, the third category 3-3, and then the most experience 10 plus games 6-9-1. So in a weird way, as much as I think experience matters in the Final Four, I think you're paying the price. Usually there's a premium on the Coach K's, on the Roy Williams, and because of that, the ATS record, usually by going with the better coach, isn't necessarily profitable. And this goes back to 2009, so 10 years of data. Now, I think, though, in the earliest part of the game, when you have a coach with 8 Final Fours, Izzo, versus a coach with 0, a coach who was coaching at San Angelo 5 years ago. I didn't even know that school existed. I think
You got to spend more time in Texas then.
I think Coach Beard is one of the great stories. You know, there's all these old stories about Springsteen got turned down by 28 record companies. And Kafka never had a short story published, and Van Gogh never sold a painting. The idea that if you look at Beard's year to year and think he's got a family, moving his kids, and I'm assuming he has kids, and the idea that he was literally in his 40s at San Angelo to being the AP Coach of the Year, being in the Final Four, it shows you if you've got a passion and you believe in yourself, keep going, because he did. There was times he could have sold used cars, I'm sure. And I'm really rooting for him in that way. But it doesn't change. He was at San Angelo 5 years ago. And I can't believe that Michigan State's edge, whatever edge they've got, isn't biggest early in this game. And to me, I love the idea. I love the idea of the race to 10. And you only have to lay minus 115. So I've got like a 2.5 point favorite. And all I got to do is lay minus 115 and in a race to 10. Best bet, RJ.
I love it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with it either. In fact, I think I actually brought that up to Brad yesterday when we were talking about, looking at some of the props and things like that, player props or team props, that would be one of the ones I would like was Michigan State to 10 because, I mean, and you, a good example of it is what they did against LSU. And, full disclosure, I was on LSU in that game. And it was 2 minutes in the game, 3 minutes into the game, you knew what was happening. I mean, the experience edge in that. And by the way, I mean, that knucklehead coaching at LSU, I mean, he couldn't hold Chris Beard's clipboard. But I still think there is something to showing up your first Final Four. You're gonna be a little bit tight. I would imagine that's a tough spot to be in. And Tom Izzo's been there, and he's done it. He knows what it's going to be like.
And remember now, though Tech made the Elite Eight last year, a lot of new players.
Yeah.
All right, that's RJ Bell. And guys,
Quick, Fred, if you don't mind, because I never mentioned this, but our national show, right, I thought today's, which we just got off the air, we just did a full preview of both games with Brad and Fezzik. I thought it was one of our best shows. If you go to your favorite pod player and just search RJ Bell, and it's called Straight Out of Vegas, if you want to give any show a try, it's only 40 minutes. They cut the commercials out. I would say Friday's show, the show that's up there right now, is one to try.
Well, I am going to listen to it in the morning. And it's funny because I was just about to say that if you didn't listen to Brad yesterday and RJ today, don't bet the tournament. Go back and listen to the podcast about what Brad and AJ talked about yesterday and what RJ talked about today. And at least you're going to have a really good, educated guess on what you're doing based on that. This has been two of the best days of basketball analysis that I've heard in a while.
Well, that's very kind. I will say this, and I'm being super sincere. And, Fred, you know what I think of you with the horses. But, AJ, I know that typical talk radio, especially in Houston, there's not a ton of college basketball talk. The depth of his knowledge in college basketball is Vegas level. I mean, like, AJ can sit here amongst five of the sharp Vegas guys and hold his own. So I know it doesn't come out all the time because, you don't want to break down towns and state on talk radio. But you guys, each in your own way, are as sharp as they come. And, again, to be broadcasters, too, it's a rare thing. So no wonder you're winning the ratings war.
Appreciate it, RJ. That means a lot, man.
But it's true. So we'll talk next week.
All right. Sounds good, buddy. All right. That's RJ Bell. He is the absolute best at what he does. And Texas Mattress Makers is the absolute best at what they do. There's no reason for you to go anywhere else to buy your bed. Because the thing about Texas Mattress Makers, they've got showroom sales going on now. But let's forget the sales for a minute. Let's just start with the basics. You walk into the store, you're saving 50% from a retail store. If you go to a retail store, you might even be buying a mattress that Texas Mattress Makers made, and they've marked the price up, and you don't get it custom fitted like you do. And you don't get the geniuses that work at Texas Mattress Makers that know what mattress is going to be perfect for you. And they've got high-tech springs. I've seen how they do this. I mean, there's so much care and knowledge that goes into these mattresses that Yuval does, and Lax and the whole gang over there. They know everything about them. You're going to get more comfort, more support. That's guaranteed. You're going to get great service. You tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. They'll take care of you. You're going to save a whole bunch of money on top of that. There's really no reason to go anywhere else. Two great stores, the new one out in Katy, 5026 East 3rd Street. Or you can go to the original, 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. They're going to take care of you. You're going to sleep better. You're going to feel better. The best sleep at the best price guaranteed. That's my friends at Texas Mattress Makers.
You know who it is. This is Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Live Sports Bar on Main Street. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz here at Live Sports Bar. It's been a real fun time, and a lot of people have already made their way to the game because it's starting soon. But Lamont says, I've been saying for years, A.J. is the best locally at college basketball. I agree 100%. I learn a ton from him, just like I've learned a ton about MMA from him. But I wouldn't sell Polillo short on his basketball knowledge. He's not. It's different because he's not gambling the way AJ is.
Yeah.
AJ knows it because he's gambling on the games. And that's one of the things I've always tried to tell people. Even if you're not into gambling, you're going to pick up a ton of information on stuff when we talk about betting on it, because you're doing the research on the teams. You know the players. It's like when with the hockey stuff that I'm going to do, it's like, okay, it's a way to talk hockey, but also involve people who want to gamble on it.
But I guess with college basketball, one of the big differences is when the tournament starts up, everybody has to have takes and act like they know what they're talking about.
Right.
Whereas we all watch football, we all watch the NBA, we all watch the Astros. We all, we have a informed opinion on it. Not everybody on radio watches college basketball. I'm aware of it. Yeah. Like, and so sometimes I hear them, I'm like, oh, you're an idiot. Why would you say, like, you don't know, you read that somewhere else. I mean, but
yeah,
you're parroting
somebody else's take. And, the dude knows his stuff, man. And I learn a lot. I've learned a lot about college basketball over the last few years and a lot about MMA from just listening to the guy. And I think a lot of listeners do too. And, mine are a little more obscure. People will care about horse racing here in a month. And when they do, you'll see some of the same things. You'll see people talking about, oh, well, this horse did this and this horse did this. I've been watching every one of these bleeping four-legged mules for months now. And, tomorrow, there's three big preps. I'll be betting them. I'll be watching them. I'll be recording them so I can go back and watch every single horse. And, that's fun for me. Because I'm trying to unravel a puzzle. And same thing you do with college basketball. You're watching Wisconsin Green Bay in December so you can make plays on it. And yes, does everybody care? No. And that's why I don't force the ponies down people's throats too much. But during the Triple Crown, people care.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm going to know what I'm talking about.
I'll be ready.
I might be wrong, but it's not going to be because I'm just parachuted in and said, oh, I like this horse.
Yeah.
And, I've mentioned Bourbon War three or four times on the show. That is probably going to be my Derby horse. But we still have three key preps this weekend and then one big one next weekend. And from there, then there's a lot of other little stuff that goes into it. It's like, how do they work over the track when they get to Churchill and things like that. And, I'm watching workouts on Tuesday morning at 6 a.m., on TVG to see who's working well. And you put that kind of effort into it, you're going to get results, and maybe not always, and people don't. And it's so funny when I miss on something and when AJ misses on something, how much grief you get.
Yeah.
And it's fine because I get it. Most of the people bitching didn't bet a dime.
Right. Or they bet literally a dime.
Yeah. And
like, not, I'm not talking about a grand.
No.
I'm talking like,
yeah, I bet my last $4 in my MyBookie account.
Well, like the guy who was like, he sent me the thing. He's like, I made a big bet on that play, and he sent me a screenshot of his $30 parlay. Like, dude, listen, I understand you're frustrated. Nobody likes losing, but I'm more frustrated than you right now.
Yeah,
trust me.
And that's the thing that a lot of people I think get now. Not everybody, but when we lose, I can almost assure you we're losing a hell of a lot more money than you are. And that sucks. Losing sucks. I hate losing. And I don't feel good about it. I feel bad when people lose money on my picks. I feel worse when I lose money on my picks.
Yeah.
And, I have I've had stretches where I was unstoppable, and I've had stretches where I couldn't pick a winner to save my life. And I would tell people, man, I might just go the other way on these picks because right now I'm just in a terrible slump. And my MyBookie account sees it. My BetUS Racing account sees it. And, you know, it's not fun when you have to reload. That is the worst feeling in the world. And, you know, I don't need to be told how much I suck. I know because I just had to go back into my bank account to put money in there to play with. Not a good thing. All right, 713-780-3. Is it already down to the last segment?
Yeah.
Jesus, AJ. These shows have just been flying by. I hope the listeners are enjoying it as much as I am. Because I probably had more fun doing the show in the last month than I have in years.
Thank you, Fred.
No, it's just been fun.
Let's hug.
No. Don't touch me.
Oh, we're hugging right now.
Don't touch me, you inappropriate son of a bitch.
Fred, you don't take your hand off my leg, sir.
Hey, hashtag me too.
That was such a cute hug, guys.
Thank you.
Bleep you, bearded freak. All right, we're going to take a quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is the Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 road show, live from Live Sports Bar on Main Street. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. One final segment to go. And, man, been fun.
Yeah.
Appreciate all the Blitzers who came out.
You went by fast.
Yeah, they've all gone to the game now. So they'll be enjoying themselves. Except for my wife, who seems to be making fun of me for some reason again.
God, what is her problem?
I don't know. I thought I had her trained, but apparently not. But anyway, thanks everybody who came out. It's been a lot of fun. I think we're going to be here again in a few weeks for something else, which I'm not sure, but that'll be cool too. And be another opportunity to come out and drink and hang with the Blitz. But I think we won over Blitzer's wife since she wanted her bat signed.
Yeah.
That thing is not surviving.
No way.
She tries to take that into the game.
No.
There's no way. All right, let's wrap up the show the way we do every Friday. Let's do stupid stuff.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week.
A little Texans news for you.
Okay.
There's a couple things that I wanted to get to. First off,
they've traded for Dwayne Brown.
No, that's not. Sorry.
So I like to think that I launched Bobby Bones' career. Congratulations, Bobby. You're welcome.
That's a cool name, too.
Not his real name.
I'm sure.
Made up radio name.
Like Alex Gold.
Yep.
Bones is a
And Aaron Rabold.
No, that's actually a real name.
See, you want to be a success? Aaron Raven.
Ooh, good one.
That makes me sound like a female wrestler.
No.
Yeah, it does.
No.
It's hot. But since this city seems to hold so much weight on the regular season, we should probably just give up on the Astros, right? Season's over?
Yeah.
Okay.
When Barry does an impression of me, it makes me sound like a 1950s racetrack caller.
I mean, and the Blitz is on, see? Yeah. See, just get funny. On the rail.
Back on the Blitz. Guys, if you get a chance, please check out sportsmap.com today. Record month in March for SportsMap. Over a quarter of a million people were there.
Quarter of a billion people.
Well, close enough. That and Derm, they grow a lot of up there.
What's Derm?
It's
like dirt from a berm.
I have no idea. I just know that I ask, hey, what's those yellow things in the field? Oh, that's Derm. We're growing Derm there.
That's Canadian corn is what it is.
What do they
use Derm for?
It's been explained to me before, but I'll be damned if I can remember.
You'll be dermed. Oh, Durham. Is it Durham? Because isn't that a type of wheat?
That's probably what it is.
D-U-R-U-M?
Okay.
You're an idiot, Fred. It's the a whole different word.
Durham wheat.
That's just how the Canadians say it.
Durham.
It's Durham, don't you know?
Oh, geez.
It's Durham.
It's a Durham.
Yeah, that's what they make pasta with, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Jeez.
Canadian pasta.
It's like macaroni wheat.
He's making macaroni. Fred, you're going to be a macaroni magnate.
And I wanted to play on draft.com.
I really don't. I don't like it when girls play fantasy sports.
Really?
Turn off.
It might not be a bad idea for me to buy wedding bands in bulk.
You're a good candidate for that.
It's just a thought.
How sporty have we been? What would you say the sports on this has been, Aaron? A 70% sports show?
Probably 65-45.
65-45, huh?
Has this 65-35. Been a, has this been a, I can't do math.
Has this been a big-time math show? We used to have an Asian producer who I leaned on for math.
You can't do that here.
It's probably 65-45. Hindsight's always 50-50, though. We shouldn't have gotten rid of that Asian.
Yeah, we've learned that. Yeah.
Stupid stuff we've said
this week.
Fun week as always.
Good times.
Yeah, that Durham. I'm a
Durham.
Oh, it's possible that I just don't hear as well as I used to, because that's what he'd say. That's what they'd always. Oh, it's obviously Durham. They left out a syllable. It happens.
Yeah, big deal.
Oh well, I get to look stupid on air. That's all that matters. You guys get to make fun of me, and that's a good thing. Good thing, not a bad thing. It's tremendous. I'm the worst. You guys are the best. We know that. All right. That's going to wrap things up. I want to thank Aaron Rabel for doing a great job back in studio. Certainly want to thank all the Blitzers who came out. They did a great job today as well. Also want to thank RJ Bell, who always brings it, but he was fantastic.
That was good. And he said nice stuff about us. So.
Yeah, usually he'll say nice stuff about you and then just rip on me. So this was new,
which makes sense. This time he said it about both of us.
No, it's kind of dumb, but that's okay. Tyler Scott did a great job as always, and I'm gonna give everybody's A pluses today. I think Hoffman was an A plus. I'm gonna give myself a C minus, but for me, that's pretty damn good.
That's not bad.
That's almost mediocre, and that's my goal. All right. I hope everybody has an awesome, awesome weekend. Enjoy the games tonight. Enjoy the games tomorrow. We'll see you guys on Monday. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.